Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you. WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox 96.9 FM and Fox 1340 AM. I'm Glenn Thomas. Along with me, as always, the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard?
What's going on, G-Lo?
Nothing much, man. Another great day. Another day in the wrestling world. We're coming off a No Mercy pay-per-view that was really good, in my opinion. A lot of people have complaints, and a lot of people are mad at the No Mercy pay-per-view, which I don't understand why. But nonetheless, the No Mercy pay-per-view was good at all costs. Two main event matches that everybody wanted to see, Roman Reigns taking on John Cena, as well as Brock Lesnar taking on Braun Strowman. And the people are complaining that it took only one F5 to knock out Braun Strowman.
Yeah, and I got words for that. Go ahead.
They're not talking about the Kimura lock. And then on the other hand, while we're talking about that it only took John Cena hit Roman Reigns with three attitude adjustments, one off the top rope or the middle rope, and he still didn't get the pin, but Roman Reigns gets the win. They like, why John Cena got to hit three attitude adjustments and don't get the win? And why is it that Brock Lesnar has to get one F5 on Braun Strowman and it makes Braun Strowman look weak? I'm going to let you, as a Wizard, start because I have my own opinion as well. Wizard, what are you your thoughts on the F5 in the attitude adjustments?
Here's my thing. It's about the development of where they're, like, nothing is stopping right there at No Mercy. There's continuations of a lot of things. As much as it's the funny joke online and everything, you got to make Roman look strong. You have to. Same thing with Brock Lesnar. It's to help whoever ends up beating them later on. You have to make them look strong. You have to build up for the next person. So it taking one F5 to beat Braun Strowman, y'all are acting like it was Dolph Ziggler doing it. He's still Brock Lesnar. That's what I don't get how people don't understand. He's still Brock Lesnar. He's still the beast. He's still, like, how do you not realize that he's still Brock Lesnar to be able to take you out in one F5? And people not talk about, it took three to put down. Undertaker's entire gimmick is about rising from the dead. So, of course, it's going to take three to put him down. Like, come on. It's wrestling, right? People.
And we're not good. Let's not compare Braun Strowman to The Undertaker. Can we not do that?
Yeah.
Can we not compare Braun Strowman to The Undertaker? It is not The Undertaker. It's Braun Strowman, who just a couple months ago lost to Roman Reigns in a Superman punch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're making it look like Braun Strowman was invincible. He's not invincible. And that's, if you watch the match back, can we go back to all the German suplexes he took prior to the F5?
Yeah.
It's not like he just hit the F5 out of nowhere and that was it. It was the German suplexes that were coming, six or seven of them, before he even got to the F5. So it's okay.
You're absolutely right.
And it makes the move look legit. The F5 needs to be legit. If everybody's kicking out of your finisher, I just grew up in the day and era that when somebody hit their finisher, it was over.
Yeah.
So
people complain about the false finishes, complain how it takes two and three of the finish, and finishes mean nothing no more. Brock Lesnar hits his F5, and it's over. And I think people are disappointed. Oh, it wasn't enough carnage. It wasn't, like, they did just enough where they didn't overdo it with the spots. All the spots were already done in SummerSlam. What's the point of repeating it? Put on a different match. You had a good, solid, and that's the thing. Braun did very well in there with Brock Lesnar. And shout out to Brock Lesnar, you know, being the presumed, you know, ring general for that fight. And it came on very well.
Yeah. You know, even with the Kimura lock and all the different things that was going on, it came off well. It was believable that you take a body part off the big man and make him hurt. And most people forget the storyline or the real life story Braun Strowman just had elbow surgery. He had elbow surgery, for God's sake.
Yep.
So it makes it realistic that Brock works on the arm that the elbow surgery was on. But we forget, wrestling fans forget about that Braun was gone for like 4 weeks because of the elbow incident, the elbow surgery that he had. He had to be written off of TV. He came back quicker than he was supposed to because he wasn't even supposed to be back right now. They were talking like 6 months. That Braun was totally out for 6 months, but he came back and was put in a good match with Brock Lesnar, and I think they delivered for later on down the road. We haven't seen the last of Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar facing one another. It will be another match that takes place eventually down the road. You know, that was a good match. When you argue with me and you complain, that's fine. That's your opinion. I'm not going to tell you not to argue, but at least come with valid points why you think. Don't just tell me, oh, he just hit one F5. Come with some valid points why you think that one F5 wasn't supposed to take out Braun Strowman.
Right.
Give me a valid. Well, just give it to me. One leg drop used to do it with Hulk Hogan. Macho Man used to hit with you one off the elbow off the top rope one good time. You know, Jake the Snake before it became a everybody does it. The DDT put you out. It was over with. So, nonetheless, Brock Lesnar gets the win over Braun Strowman to set up further matches down the road. And we'll see Brock later on, and he's still the Universal Champion, and you have not lost anything on Monday Night Raw because Brock is not there every week. You haven't lost anything. You know, you have not lost anything. Then the next match, Roman Reigns, the next main event match, Roman Reigns, who took on John Cena, you know, bragging rights, show who yard it is, very good match. Roman Reigns gets the win over John Cena. John Cena.
Yeah, and I was wrong about that. I actually thought John Cena was going to win that. I don't know where they're going with it, but I really thought John Cena was going to win that. I really did.
I like how they do it. I like what they're doing. Roman has beaten John Cena. He's beaten The Undertaker. You know, he's beaten Braun in the middle of both of those. And it's setting up like, okay, this is Roman's yard. This is Roman's place.
I think it's setting up, G-Lo, to where it's setting up to be Roman beating Brock Lesnar next. That's honestly where I think this is going. Like you just said, he's beaten Cena, he's beaten Taker, he's beaten Braun Strowman. You know, he's beaten Randy Orton before. He's pretty all of the top guys. He's pretty much beaten to where now. It's looking like, okay, once he beats Brock, he's that top guy. And I really think that's where they're going.
And he's done it. And this is what I get about fans. They tell all they hot shot Roman to the title. Here's a slow roll. Roman has not been a world champion in over a year. And he's slow rolling him back to the title. They slow rolling him back.
Yeah.
He has to face multiple opponents. It's not like it's hot shotting. And he's beating incredible people. So let's not say they handed Roman Reigns anything. He's earning everything they have. As Cena, you know, didn't say he passed the torch, but Roman Reigns took the torch. And for all you people out there saying you want to see Cena break the record, I think I was on count saying this show months ago that I don't think Cena won 17, could care less about getting 17 championships. I think he's happy with 16. And let it be what it is. 17 doesn't mean anything to him. Let it be a tie. It's not about the world title. Him. It's about getting people over. Then he has another deal. He just signed on for another movie that he could do. So it's different things in his life. Look at his girlfriend. She's on Dancing with Stars. This wrestling thing, as you mentioned, it mentioned on Raw Talk, that he's been doing it at a high level for over 10 years. Being the man for over 10 to 11 years takes a toll on longer than Bruno, longer than Hogan at this level. They didn't have all the things. That I know somebody said Bruno's the champion for this year, but Bruno didn't have all the things that Cena had to do. TV appearances, flying here, flying there, all over the place. The Make-A-Wish Foundation, the things that he has to do for the company. Cena being on top is good for somebody else. If not Roman Reigns, then who? That's my question to you, Wizard. If it wasn't Roman Reigns, then who?
At this point, nobody. And I honestly believe that. He just has that look. He has that super – he's that first one, Cena, to have that real superhero-like look.
He does. He got the look, the conversation. He can speak very well. He can go. He dress up very well. He can go on a Today Show.
Yeah.
He can go on ESPN. He can go. He can make the tours where he needs to be at to continue to carry the brand to another level. And he's proven that he can go day in and day out and put in work. Is he a little green around the edges in some aspects? Yes. But he's gotten better on the microphone because that's what everybody's big complaint was.
You know what, though? You know what, though? Everybody, I mean, most people go through that on the microphone. And my thing is with Roman is to me, granted, yes, compared to the people he's in the ring with, he's not that good on the mic. But look who he's in the ring with. He's in there with, you know, Lesnar, who has Heyman and Cena and Orton and Rollins and Ambrose.
And Jericho.
Jericho, all these top guys that he's in the ring with, of course they're better than him on the microphone. Roman's character was never to be speaking anyway, in my opinion.
He was the enforcer. How many enforcers do you see speak? They don't. They just handle business. They do the dirty work. And not to mention all the names that you named, the Cenas of the world, the Jerichos of the world, the Seth Rollins, the Kevin Owens, they all were on indie scenes. They all had they had that before they got to the main level or the main roster, they had ability and time to speak. Roman has not been in the business that long. If I'm not mistaken, it's 5 years now?
Yeah.
5 years that he's been in the business. You're talking about Kevin Owens, who's been in 13 years. AJ Styles, 17 years. You know what I'm saying? So you, Daniel Bryan, who's been there for a long time. So you got all these guys who's been in the business for Roman, and he's just now catching up. He'll get it eventually on the mic. He'll be well on the mic. And he'll do that. So it was good. Saw Cena pass the torch. Like you said, tears in his eyes. Whether it's tears of jubilation or tears of sadness, only he knows. You know, like, it's a relief that he doesn't have to do this night in and night out. And all you Cena fans, people that wanted to see Cena leave, this is your opportunity.
Yeah.
See him go away for a while.
Oh, they don't want to see him leave. They don't want to see him leave. I can tell you that now. Let's just cut that. Let's just nip that in the bud now. Cena is wanted more than ever now. Like, really, he's reached that status to where people are really just booing him because it's cool. There's nobody that legitimately hates him no more. He's really at that point. In the loosest of terms, he's pretty much where Shawn Michaels was in the second run that he had, that it was just good to see him there. You didn't really hate him. That's the same thing with Cena now. Nobody really hates Cena. When is the last time Cena really won? What, AJ? When he beat AJ? Like,
yeah,
something meaningful. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, when he beat AJ. That's it. You know, he hasn't done anything since then and not. But he knows his role now. His role is, yo, let's help put some of these other guys over. Look good. Not saying that you won't get a win. He's in the Chris Jericho role now. You know, that he may get a title. He may not. He's there to put some kids over when he needs to be. When they need him, they'll call him. He'll be in there. He's still a young guy. He can do that. So It's not a bad thing for Cena. Not a bad thing for the company. Remember years ago, everybody said, oh, WWE don't develop stars. Well, this is what they've developed enough stars now that John Cena can go away for a minute. And if you miss him that much, go to the network and watch his stuff for $9.99.
You're exactly right.
Let's move on. Another one is, you said it in our own private message on Sunday night, that Enzo Amore will be a great heel. And I said, nah, I don't think Enzo's going heel. And then, as always, you the wizard, proved me wrong. proved me wrong. Enzo Amore turning heel on Monday Night Raw. I know this guy's been in a doghouse where, as far as the wrestling dirt sheets have said, you know, getting put out of the locker room, bringing people in the locker room, people in the back are getting mad with him or upset with Enzo. But guess what? Enzo's mouth has bailed him out of a lot of situations. And has bailed him all the way to the 205 Cruiserweight Champion, which, as he said in his promo, he has made the Cruiserweight title relevant. In less than 24 hours, he made the Cruiserweights have the last segment of Monday Night Raw. He has made some of those guys that you have not seen on TV in a while. Everybody worrying about 205 now because of Enzo Amore. If you follow him on Instagram, you see all the things that he's doing with his titles. Might be in some eyes a little markish, but it wasn't markish when CM Punk did it when he won
right,
that money
exactly.
in the bank. And so you guys that says, oh, Enzo Amore is showing a title away with his markish. Well, Punk had his in the refrigerator. Punk had
right.
his at the title out at a Cubs game. So why is it good for Punk but not for Enzo? But anyway, what are your thoughts on Enzo Amore and his promo Monday night and what he's doing now for 205 and for the state of 205, actually?
Okay, let me gather what I want to say with that. The thing with Enzo turning heel might have saved his career. The best thing to do right now is all of that heat with him not being able to hang with anybody in the cruiserweight division. It's a money-making machine. You might as well run with it. Might as well run with it because at this point, he's the most hated guy. He's one of the most hated guys on the roster anyway right now. But he's the most hated guy in the cruiserweight division. Might as well let him be. He has more heat than Neville. And Neville was just the heel of heels. He has more heat than Neville. Like, how do you do that? Like, you might as well run with that at this point.
I totally agree with that, man. You run with it, you know, but if he is the heel now, where does that go with him and Neville? You know, you got to be able to continue to run that storyline. Or, as well, I take that back. I apologize to all you listeners. Neville ended that other night when he beat up Enzo Amore. So everybody else now will get a shot at Enzo besides Neville. And that's what's going to take for everybody else to get a shot at Enzo before Neville. Hey, let's be honest. Enzo has a title. Enzo is good
yeah.
for business. Love him or hate him, beat him up, whatever you want to case me, he's good for business. His mouth is writing a lot of checks right now that his butt can't cash, but it's good for business. And you got to accept the fact that Enzo is – somebody likes him backstage because he was not, he did exactly what everybody said. He was going to go down to 205 and win the Cruiserweight title. Everybody,
oh,
all
yeah.
you guys, all you guys on your blogs and all you guys on your forums – that Enzo Amore would go to 205. Guess what? He went to 205 after him and Big Cass broke up, and he, what, won the Cruiserweight title. So love it or hate it, Enzo's your new Cruiserweight champion. I'm interested to see where this goes from here. I'm definitely interested. The other thing I'm interested to see is with Alexa Bliss winning, Mickie James is now back in the picture to take on Alexa Bliss. I see their feud going on. Your thoughts on this feud? Mickie obviously is a veteran. To the women's
yep.
division, taking on the young girl, Alexa Bliss. I personally think this is a setup for Mickey and Asuka because I think Mickey gets the title. I think Asuka comes back and faces Mickey because they had a great match at NXT. I know people forget about that, but they had a great match at NXT when Mickey James debuted back in the WWE.
Mickey James at this point is such a good hand for that women's division, specifically on Raw. Is that she has the credibility to plug her in at any time, hence what they're doing right now. So to do that, it shows her longevity in the women's division, and it shows that she still can be a threat, even though you know she's nine times out of ten going to just put somebody over. I like where she's at. Some people may not, but it's fine. I like where she's at.
I like what she has, especially with Asuka coming back at TLC. And I'm going to ask you this, you as a wizard. I don't think Asuka comes – I know fans may like her, and we'll see with her coming in what kind of crossover it is from NXT to the main roster. But could she come in as a heel and not the face that everybody thinks she's going to come in as?
She can, and they can try. But after her running through the division, which I really think she will, there's going to be no point but just hurt her face at that point.
I don't think she runs through the division. I think she gets a – they're not going to run her like she did in NXT. I think her first shot at the title, she will not be successful.
Yeah, similar to Shinsuke.
Right.
I think that goes the same way. I agree.
That she will not be successful at her first attempt. Now, she eventually gets it, as I believe Shinsuke gets it at Hell in a Cell, but we'll talk about that here in a couple of weeks. But I think Asuka debuts in a big fashion, and runs through her first opponent and gets to whoever the champion may be, whether Alexa Bliss or Mickey James. I do believe Mickey James will get a run with the Raw Women's title. I think she will beat Alexa Bliss and have that opportunity. And which sets up a door for a lot of different things. Asuka can take it off of Mickey. Mickey can face Nia Jax. So you set up a lot of things on that women's division. I think we mentioned on last week's show, which now allows somebody like Paige, yes, Paige still is employed by the WWE, to come back and go to SmackDown. And Nikki Bella as well, when she takes off, whenever happens to her on Dancing with Stars.
You know, I agree.
That's one of the things that they can do there. The other thing that's been interesting this week with SmackDown, you have Dolph Ziggler going to be taking on Bobby Roode at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. I think this will be a very good match, very good entertaining match by two good workers. I think Bobby Roode does get the win there, but it's good for Dolph Ziggler, especially after the last couple of weeks of what he's been doing with the different entrance music and saying wrestling this and wrestling that. They at least finally gave him somebody to face. And I think it took them 3 weeks to try to find him an opponent so he stopped looking stupid coming out.
Yeah, yeah. At this point, I think it didn't run its course, but I think they probably thought it ran its course.
Yeah. So it's good for him. But speaking of Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler, NXT, Adam Cole debuted. First of all, let's go back before we Adam Cole. Leo Rush debuted.
Right.
Against Valentin Dream.
And who was the referee?
Jesse K.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole MCW reunion happened on NXT. Most people from Maryland Championship Wrestling or in the Maryland area get that. For all you listeners who are not listening outside of Maryland, check out some of the Maryland Championship Wrestling stuff. Valentin Dream and Leo Rush, tag team partners. Very good tag team partners in MCW. Started MCW together. As we know, Valentin Dream went to Tough Enough, came back to NXT. Now his friend and lifetime friend and partner, Leo Rush, makes his debut and loses to Valentin Dream. I like the Valentin Dream gimmick. I like what's going on. You know, the feud with him and Aleister Black is definitely a good feud there. But Leo Rush, you know, made it to TV kind of quickly, I thought, though. That's just my opinion. I know he's coming off the NXT, but he made it to TV kind of quickly from being right there at NXT. Is that a notch for NXT saying, you know what, this guy is established. You know that he's been in CZW. He's been to Evolve. He's been MCW. Been around the world wrestling. Is he at the level now that he can, you know, I guess it is if we go straight to TV. Your thoughts on the match and those two guys going against each other?
I mean, it came up very well. I mean, why not put Leo in there with somebody he's familiar with? They probably practiced with each other years and years. So why not do that? I mean, all familiar faces in there, make them feel welcome. I was all for it.
I was all for it. Damn it, Devin Fry was just the happiest camper in the world. No more T-shirts and sell more people to the school. I'm just saying. Now we'll go to the Adam Cole debut. Against Eric Young. I don't know what anybody else says. Eric Young is great. And to my opinion, Eric Young can stay on NXT forever. He never has to go to the main roster for me. I know a lot of people say, oh, Eric Young, I guess. He never has to go to the main roster. The sanity gimmick, everything that he's doing on NXT is gold. And I think NXT needs veterans like Eric Young to be on that show.
Here's the thing. So, I feel as though there are people who need to be mainstays just to keep the validity of NXT. And I don't mean the validity of NXT, like NXT is going to completely fall off. But it's some of those mainstays that they just – Eric Young's one of them. I'll put it that way. There's no need to – not that Eric Young would be a waste on the main roster, but it would be so much of a, okay, Eric Young's on the main roster. Especially if they know they don't have any real long-term plans with him on the main roster. No need to put him up there, and I think they realize that.
Yeah. Only person I think Eric Young, if Daniel Bryan was still on the main roster, you would want to see that. You know?
Yeah.
You want to see Daniel Bryan and Eric Young, but anything else right now, no. You let Eric Young and Adam Cole continue to feud. You know, you have a Kyle O'Reilly and a Fish over there, Bobby Fish over there, which is a good faction in NXT. Can't recall what they're calling themselves down there, but it's a good faction.
I think they're the Undisputed Era.
Yeah, the Undisputed Era. Down there, so it's very good for them, and you got factions going against each other. NXT, if you don't watch it on Wednesday nights, please check it out. WWE Network. I'm not getting paid for plugging them, but the WWE Network is my friend, and I, my $9.99 get paid every month, and I enjoy it. I enjoy
my $9.99 has come out since February 2014. It's never stopped.
It never stopped, and I get all the pay per views. Family loves it. Last thing we want to hit on before we close the show out, I know that it's the Young Bucks. Been in the news a lot lately with the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Have been in the news a lot with the WWE. They, if you haven't watched it on the Elite episode 78 on YouTube, the Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes, Hangman Page, and Marty. How could I forget Brandi Rhodes? Oh boy, how could I forget her? Anyway, all came to the WWE arena and basically reenacted DX's ambush, minus the tank, minus the Jeep and the camouflage, at the bullhorn, interacting with fans, saying it was taking over Monday Night Raw. Very good video clip, in my opinion. I thought it was funny. I thought it was hilarious. I thought the Young Bucks are great. It shows that they don't need the WWE, even though a lot of people want to see them go to WWE. They're doing well outside the WWE. You know, to me, it was more important to see Cody Rhodes just having fun and doing anything outside the company. And he's willing to do that because he, one, made enough money, two, still making a lot of money outside of the WWE, and just having a good time and enjoying life. He's young, enjoying life at this age, along with his lovely wife. Was it your thoughts on this? And then we'll get to the other thing with the Young Bucks. Was your thought on the invasion, per se, of the Monday Night Raw?
I thought it was cool. I thought it was cool for now's generation to see something like that. But for me, I didn't see it as a ripoff. I thought it was cool. But it was pretty much, to me, because there's no direct competition going on right now with WWE, as great as the Bullet Club are, it's like, okay, like, that's great. That was so cool to see them there. But it's like, all right, I mean, there's no direct competition on Monday nights from New Japan against Raw, you know, something like that. So it had its effect, but it's like, if you know who the Bullet Club are, you know who they are. If the other people didn't, I mean, they know who they are now, but there's so little of an outlet for them to you can't turn on TNT and then see these guys. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You have to go through a few channels. I mean, not channels, but through a few outlets to get to see their good work. And even if you see them on Ring of Honor, you know, if you're fortunate enough to be in a city where Ring of Honor comes on at a decent time, you can see them. If not, the average person's not waiting until 2 in the morning until Ring of Honor comes on. So,
yeah. Or you DVR it like I do and watch it the next day. But, you know, there lies which prompted a lawsuit. A cease and desist letter from the WWE over the too sweet hand gestures. Said the intellectual property belongs to the WWE and that the Young Bucks and the Bullet Club needs to stop doing it too sweet. Now, I had to go do research because I remember that there was a story that Kevin Nash gave them the okay to do so, that this started in WCW.
Yeah.
Just because WWE purchased WCW, I believe that all hand gestures and intellectual property belong to WWE, as they are saying. Even though Kevin Nash and Scott Hall are technically the owners of the Too Sweet.
Is it something anybody really owns? I mean, is it I mean, I guess intellectual property, I guess if they, I'm not a lawyer, I can't get into any of that, but I mean, I guess.
Is it worth the WWE fighting over this, though? Is the Bullet Club gotten that big that they have to get a cease and desist letter?
They are that big. I will say that.
Yeah, they are. They are. But look how long it's been going on. And I think the invasion was one of those things like, you know what? What can we do then? This is our way to get back at you. This is our way to, we left you alone. We wasn't messing with you. But now, guess what? You done pissed us off. And now here we go. We're going to do this. Be interested to see if the Young Bucks stop. Be interested to see if New Japan gets involved, actually, to help the Young Bucks out in this situation of matter. There's no lawsuit. It's just a letter. They need to stop or they will be fined. I believe the article said $150,000 or more if they do not stop using the Too Sweet hand symbol. You know what the Too Sweet hand symbol is? Or you're taking your middle and your ring finger. You're putting it together onto your thumb. And you're throwing it like as if it's a wolf, and you're kissing it together. So that's what it is for all you listeners out there who may not know what we're talking about when we meant the Too Sweet hand signal, hand gesture, excuse me. And that's what it is, WWE's. So you be careful when you're out there. You're doing a Too Sweet hand signal. You never know which WWE executive may be lurking around, and you get be the next person with the assist and desist letter. So you never know. But I think those are the top stories that's going on in the wrestling world right now. We've got the No Mercy and the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view coming up in the next couple of weeks. We'll preview that next week, talk about the Hell in a Cell, and give you our predictions on the Hell in the SmackDown's Hell in a Cell matches, which are coming up in 1 week away. So, Wizard, if you don't mind, take us home.
Oh, you already know. If you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
End of story. Washington Redskins are 2-1.
Good night. Toward the Eagles.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.